appreciate your generosity. Each year for a week, we host Fundrive, our annual fundraising campaign that boosts our budget and supports our operations. Thank you for your support.
Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds. It's time for more Suds.
Welcome, everyone, to this Suds segment where we are always looking for the new and exciting ways to entertain you, our audience.
Dave, keep all your clothes on, okay? Just please. It's a family-friendly beer show, okay?
You know what? That would be neither new nor exciting.
Wow.
Right now on stage number 8, you love him, you may leave him, but he's here with all the things that you want to look at another stage.
You have to use my stripper name, Mosaic.
Mosaic. That's right.
Your favorite hop should always be your stripper name.
He's not new. He is not even entertaining, but he is exciting.
Mike's stripper name is Nelson Sovin. Reverend Mark, what's yours? Strata?
Fuggles.
Fuggles. I like that. That's good.
Juliana, how about you? Eastern Golding?
Yeah. He's EKG. Yeah. Okay. Well, folks, we got the original band back together.
Yay.
I am one of your hosts, Good Old Gal Juliana, and it is a pleasure joining me today at this special table. Today is Good Old Boy Mike.
Hello, everybody. I decided that, I could hang out with Ken and, a nuclear weapon, and I'm like, sure, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, Mike and Ken have a lot in common,
yeah.
Especially in the front of their pants.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Reverend Mark, hello, greetings.
Hello. Yes.
How are you?
What a momentous day it is.
It is. Good old boy Dave, hey.
Hey, now I am officially on an episode. I know officially, I know more about something on this episode than Mike does. And it cannot be refuted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel good.
Wow.
I had to sit through an hour and a half of Barbie movie but you know what?
Okay. Well, speaking of which, folks, I know you're dying to know what our theme is today. Pop quiz. What does a Barbie doll have in common with the father of the atomic bomb?
Stage 8. Where good old boy Dave is.
Wow. That was somewhat impressive.
It hurt.
Okay, well, up until a few months ago, it was probably nothing. But now, they are both the subject of a major motion picture. Barbie and Oppenheimer were both released earlier this year. This unlikely combination of events created a weird effect known as Barbenheimer. Dum, dum, dum. Okay. Well, ordinarily, good old boy Dave would spew some knowledge about important stuff or semi-important stuff.
Stumble over words.
But today we brought in an expert in reading words on paper.
No, it's just that I can deliver plausible BS in a convincing way that I'm going to pronounce all this correctly.
Okay.
Dave does not have that skill.
Let's see how much he pronounces correctly.
Okay. Well, Good old boy, Mike, please hit us with some knowledge.
Dave, from Wikipedia. Barbenheimer.
He said the loud part quiet and the quiet part
right,
loud.
Correct. Barbenheimer is a cultural phenomenon that began before the simultaneous theatrical release of two blockbuster films, Warner Brothers Pictures' Barbie and Universal Pictures' Oppenheimer, on July 21st of 2023 in the United States and several other countries. The word is a portmanteau of film's titles. The strong contrast between Barbie and a fantasy comedy by Greta Gerwig about the fashion doll Barbie, and Oppenheimer, an epic biographical thriller by Christopher Nolan about physicist J. Robert Oppenheimer, scientific director of the Manhattan Project, prompted a comedic response from the internet users, including memes and merchandise. Well, I know that's the pinnacle of cultural, you know, contributions.
I'm a meme.
So, Polygon described the two films as extreme opposites, and Variety called the phenomenon the movie event of the year. The simultaneous release was an instance of counter-programming. As a double release date approached, discussions centered on the oppositeness, of watching the films as a double feature, as well as what order to watch them in. A dartboard is not sufficient in a decision-making tool. Instead of generating a rivalry. Cast members of both responded by encouraging audience to watch the films on the same day. I think you should have watched them in the same room. Celebrity participants included
simultaneous watching of Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Yes, the ones on the front screen and the ones on the in the rear. So just take your pick. Let's see. Cast members of both responded. Celebrity participants included actor Tom Cruise, who purchased tickets to watch both, while his legacy. He got ahead of me to watch both movies while his own film, latest film, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, was still playing in theaters.
Wow.
That was a lot.
That is.
He did okay.
Yeah.
You weren't great. But you did okay.
Wow.
What I think happened there is that someone was winning a game online where they could put in the most egregious choices of adjectives to embed in Wikipedia, where it would exceed the fifth grade mentality of people that read Wikipedia, and to see if it would provoke a meme or merchandise. So there you go. That's what I think really happened, because nobody uses the word portmanteau
or a potness.
Yes.
Right. Whatever that other thing
was. Positiveness. Yes. Right. Don't say that while you've had a lot of beer in your hand. I wouldn't recommend that. Safety first, kids.
That's right.
Safety first. Yes.
Good job, Mikey.
Yeah.
Okay. Reverend Mark, you came up with the concept of a Barbenheimer episode. Please.
Yeah. You can blame me.
Tell us why we're doing this.
Please. Please. Well, some of it has to do with the fact that obviously, we've already kind of gone over this cultural phenomenon, you know, that's just now recent history. But it has to do with kind of a mirroring of opposites in ways that I do find it to be, on at least a cultural level, to be kind of an interesting thing that I experienced this summer, because I have completely written off paying to go in a theater, you know, I guess even before COVID. So the fact that both of these drew me in, and I've not been deplatformed.
But you're open to it.
Yeah.
He's open to a platform, folks. Yes.
So I think it part of it has to do with this is a contrast of opposites in a way, but it both of these films are also about before and after narratives that cohere very beautifully, you know, in terms of what their lives became.
World impacting events.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, I'm not buying that. See, this is what happens.
No.
This is what happens when A, people move out in the country and retire.
Yeah.
They get bored and they come up with concepts like this.
Mama, you want to go to the movies today?
Sure, Dad.
Well,
we
go it was either
today?
That or a monster truck rally.
Well,
wow.
We could have incorporated that into this episode.
You won't go fishing or you won't go to the movies?
Oh, the beast. You know, when he plows over Barbie. Oh, my gosh. That was so cool.
The crusher. Also, this has to do with an existential crisis on both in both movies. That is about what do you do after the all sort of encompassing threat of death is leashed upon you. With Oppenheimer, of course, it's the story about the Manhattan Project and the dropping of the bomb. With Barbie, it's about her contemplating for the first time cellulose and death, which sends her away from Barbie world into the real world.
Spoiler alert.
You know, I was wondering where Dave was going to be using that, and I no longer have to wander.
No.
So
that I was a tension breaker.
That, yes.
I should have placed a bet with you, Julia. That's what I should have done. I missed that opportunity.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. To be continued. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well, good old boy Dave, why don't you give us the ratings for this today?
Can you do it in your favorite Ken voice?
My voice is my favorite Ken voice. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds.
And here
are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a complete lack of mommy or daddy parts. 2, was that an EMP? 3, what a relief. The atmosphere didn't completely burn away. 4, a polyvinyl body should really not make that sound. And 5, listen to that hang time. Give me another Mojo Dojo Casa House.
Can't believe you fit that in under a minute.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
But do you really want a Mojo Dojo Casa House? There are too many horses.
100%.
I'm sorry. Okay, fine. Sorry.
Oh, you're going to make me hit the button again.
Go ahead, Dave. Do it.
Spoiler alert.
All right. We'll be back with some words in just a minute.
Hopefully some beer.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
We'll end with that one because it's a better.
Welcome back, everyone.
Well, you should have put that on the can.
Here we are with the original band members. And we have a special treat for you today. If you're just tuning in, we are doing a Barbenheimer mashup. We're talking about two movies today, complete opposites. And we're talking about two beers each that some of us brought that are probably complete opposites.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, Reverend Mark, let's start off with you since this was your grand idea. And what are you going to just start off with?
Okay, since I saw the movies in sequence, starting with Barbie,
okay.
We'll start with Barbie.
All right.
So the first one that I have to offer is a collaborative beer from Omnipolo and Evil Twin. It is even more Bianca, a raspberry maple pancake royal treatment.
Oh, Mike, you love raspberry.
I got it just for Mike.
How appropriate.
Oh, and I'm already going to rate it a 5.
I mean, if the color doesn't pull you in.
And yeah. You're saying I'm disqualified.
It's a 5.
Off the right beer, which it goes off the chart. It says it's a creamy, viscous, and patently pouring from a high, colorful can. The raspberry maple pancake royal treatment La Sigosa settles with a very dark neon crimson color with glow-in-the-dark legging and a simple swirl.
Leggings. I think it does taste like leggings, like that somebody just took off after doing yoga.
So I chose this for its symbolic as well as gastronomical offering, meaning that Bianca is Italian for white or blanc. So
she's blonde.
She's very white.
It's a white girl.
I mean, especially the stereotypical
Barbie. It's a white girl beer. Yes. That's what he's saying.
Yes.
Holy moly, dude.
That's, yeah.
That's a lot.
That's sticky.
That is a very viscous beer.
Yeah. So I think the first word that was coming to mind is no more. And the word puree. Because, yeah. You hit it. The mouthfeel on this is really, it's very jammy. It's very thick.
You know, you're right. Mm-hmm. It is like a puree.
Yep.
Yeah, it's almost like this on pancakes for sure.
This is a smoothie.
No, I would not ruin the pancakes. So.
As a dessert, like as a slushy, you know?
I could see a slushy. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just needs to come with a fork and a knife. You know,
pour this over Italian shaved ice. You got something going there, maybe.
Yeah, I think in the hallows of, you know, beers that I hate, I'm sorry, of the hallows of, you know, raspberry, you know, infused beers, this, and it just struck me, I know what we're having here in a little while, that we're actually having, you know, a couple of fruit-infused, you know, things. But I think that most people, that mouthfeel and, you know, the will really catch up with people really quick because it's not like anything else. The lactose just really almost acts like a thickening agent, I would almost say. And, but... You know, it is in balance. I will say that, you know, it's not too tart. It's not too sweet. So it has that going for it.
Yeah, and it is. It's 7% ABV. They didn't list the IBUs because I'm not sure that that even matters with this beer.
No, because all the fruit obliterated everything. Yeah.
It's 7% ABV.
I would want to know how many tons of fruit they would put in this. That's what I would probably be asking.
Yeah, right.
All the fruit.
Well, and of course, this is a collaborative beer, and I noticed it was sold as a single, not as a four-pack.
Probably a good idea.
I couldn't even have half a can of this. Right. There's no way.
I'm not sure you could have half a glass of this.
Yeah, I actually have a half glass of this, and I'm about halfway through that, and I'm going, okay.
As someone who loves giving Mike the raspberry, you know, I find this a little challenging, you know. And Omnipolo, I think that this goes along with their kind of MO. You know, they make They make beers that are not for everybody, or maybe anybody. But,
well, and I think the combination of Evil Twin and Omnipolo is a very it makes sense.
Right.
Let's take a bunch of disgruntled Danish guys and, you know, let them muck around with some beers. Yeah, that's pretty good.
And also it kind of represents the Barbie world and not a beer that you would drink in the real world.
Or maybe any world.
Yeah.
River Mart.
Was Omnipolo the beer that we did the ABBA show?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Like, yeah.
Yes. You should go back and listen to that episode. One of my favorite ones because it is one of those highlight moments in our entire back catalog where good old boy Dave sings Dancing Queen. So do not miss that.
You are the Dancing Queen.
That's what I'm talking about, folks.
Back again.
I didn't think you'd reprise it, but thank you very much. But, you know, yeah, I think that I like that you said that it's right in Omnipolo's wheelhouse because the vast majority of their beers, there's nothing subtle.
Yeah.
About a lot of, you know, the style of beers they make. They're all the time just clubbing you over the head with whatever it is that they're making. And I like that. You know, it's like, please, you know.
I would almost tie this beer in with Oppenheimer because it's like they're mad scientists just, you know, doing stuff. So,
oh, I think that this is an exit strategy for people out of Barbieville. You know, it's like, oh, cool. I get to, I'm going to drink this and leave.
I think little girls would use this beer to dye their Barbie's hair red. <You know?
laughs> But they have such a cute logo with the smiley face, you know? What's not to love?
Well, didn't they put that on one of the atomic bombs, a big smiley face?
I think they did, yeah.
Like I said, I don't think this is a beer that I hate, you know, just because of the style. But, you know, I think that mouthfeel thing is just a little too thick for me. That's the only thing I would have a bit of some caution about for everybody.
I'm honestly a fan of it. Yeah. I think it's cool for what it is.
Yeah, and I think taking the pink can into the theater with you and just sipping on it very slowly.
It'd be fine. It would be fine.
Why does it smell like raspberry all over my chair?
Yeah. I mean, no one would question you.
What's the ABV on it?
With the 7. Yeah.
You better sip on it slowly.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the proper thing over here. As he talks about this, we need to rate, and then he talks about his second beer.
Okay. Well, what are we going to rate it? We're going to rate it a 3. Okay, fine. But now, as a representation of Barbie, of the Barbie movie, do you think it would fit? Do you think it would be something that she would drink?
No. As an exit strategy, yes.
No, I think it would be something she would drink because it's kind of sweet and it's kind of girly and
needs more whipped cream.
I mean, the only thing sweet and girly at this table is Mike. So I don't know that a Barbie would enjoy this beer. That's
all I'm gonna say. Do you think Ken would enjoy this beer?
Not enough horses.
Okay, yeah, not enough horses.
This is one of these beers that I would have enjoyed Kendall's take on.
Okay. Yeah.
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 Oh, sure.
We'll have to see if we can find another can, you know, to slide over and, you know, enjoy the whole can.
Yeah. Kendall. Please. Shotgun it.
Well, Reverend Mark, I think this was an excellent choice for the movie.
Great start. Yes.
Yeah.
Great start to the episode.
I don't plan to see the movie again, and I don't plan to buy another can of this anytime soon.
There you go. One and done.
However, it serves its purpose.
But it's not a bad beer. No, it's not.
I mean, once you get past like the stickiness of it, I think it's great.
No. All right. What's your next beer, Reverend Mark?
Wait, we didn't rate it, did we?
Yeah,
we did.
We gave it a three. Oh, okay.
Jeez, listen.
I thought we just called the number out. That's all,
Mister.
Let's hear it,
Mister. Executive Producer.
All right. So, shifting now to the Oppenheimer movie. Of course, this one just fell out of the sky, so to speak. Prairie Artesian, the bomb.
Prairie bomb.
Yeah. It is an imperial stout aged on espresso beans, chocolate, vanilla beans, and ancho chili peppers.
Nothing subtle about that.
I wish I had to save some of the other beer to pour into this because I think they would work together.
Here.
Actually.
And this actually.
I did. I'll talk about it. Okay.
I usually wince just at the expression pastry stout, but this is actually an exception to that.
Oh, totally. I would not put it in the pastry stout category.
This is a dear old friend.
Oh, yeah.
We used to drink this beer a lot. Mm. And then, you know, like how...
I love all the variations of it.
Yeah, sure. Right. But you know how everything happens and, like, you know, different stouts and different beers come out. And Prairie was here, and then it was hard to find and stuff. And I really am glad to have this beer again. It's a nice reminder, and it's still really good.
Very much so.
Also, I thought this was a good pairing with the movie Oppenheimer because the bomb comes in a small 12-ounce kind of not very tall bottle. It's, you know, kind of indiscreet. And it has been described as a huge explosion of multiple flavors inside a little package.
Yeah.
And so...
Mike, look to that side.
Oh, sorry.
If you think about... What was the first bomb that was dropped? It's called Little Boy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, well,
but I'll tell you too, I think this beer, so the Oppenheimer movie, you know, is about 3 hours long. And I think this is the kind of beer that you want to let it warm up and sip on over time. You know, so I think this is, if you're doing something for 3 hours, I think this is the kind of beer that you could let it, you know, warm up and change over that amount of time. So I think this is a great beer to pair with it.
Yeah, the thing that I really love about this beer is definitely the consistent quality about this. I think the thing that hit me first was that this is a high quality stout that we've gone back to probably more times than I would even begin to track. And, you know, I can't say that there are stouts that have maintained that very consistent quality over such a long period of time. Rasputin is, you know, one of those other, what I would consider a reference standard, you know, stout that I think I often tend to probably put, you know, a bomb right up against that in the very small list of maybe five, you know, stouts that can really maintain something, you know, this good over time. It's incredibly balanced. I always love the fact that it's not overdone. They have several different versions of this. They have some that have been aged in a wide range of barrels. They have whiskey and rum, and I want to say there was an Amaro barrel one time or something like that.
No, that sounds right.
And I think the one that's with chili is Mexican chilies is definitely the one that really catches a lot of people's attention. I think they did one with jalapenos one time as well, I want to say. So, if you don't like this one, I would say try one of the other 15 different versions of Bomb that they put out. Christmas Bomb is probably the most popular version of this, and that one comes out, you know, around Christmas time.
Yep.
Through the holidays.
It's a good beer.
It's definitely a jacked up version and a good mistletoe bomb for sure. But, you know, today I just, the thing that I really love about this is just rock solid quality. You know, this is something that I would tell any BJCP judge that is starting out. You know, if you want to light up your palate to say, you know, what should a really good high scoring stout actually taste like? This is what I would. This would be one of a handful of beers I would pour for.
How do you like the blend, Mike?
I did. So I blended the Omnipollo here and the Bomb together. We do that on the fly sometimes. I'm usually not the culprit, but I did this time. It did not improve the Omnipollo at all. You know.
Well, there's that.
You know what, though? I did the same thing. And I think for this type of episode, it is especially the right thing to do.
I agree. It fits the theme of what we're doing, which is why would you go and see these two movies at the same time?
Sure.
Which is why would you drink these two beers together?
But I actually like the addition of the Omnipollo to the Prairie Bomb. I don't think it makes the Prairie Bomb better, but I think it does add another dimension to it.
I think I would describe it as it actually added something to the Omnipollo and took away from the Bomb, you know, is the way I would describe it.
If you like the Prairie Bomb better, then definitely that's the way you're going to look at it.
Yeah.
I just poured a little bit of the Omnipollo kind of as a spritzer.
Yeah.
On top.
What'd you think?
It's better going that way because you still got the Bomb as the foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bomb depth.
You don't want to go too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I would say the proportions I chose right off was, you know, half and half, you know, of each.
Yeah. You don't want to do that. I'd say maybe 25,
a lot less of the Omnipollo. Yeah. That's one of those things where, you know, if you want to tell somebody to say, really, if you haven't had a combination of chocolate and raspberry, you know, this is the way to pull it off with a beer. And, you know, it's really interesting, but I don't recall that we've ever had a brewer that's actually blended, you know, that way and actually stuffed it in a can. I mean, I've seen them do that in a taproom setting, you know, where they'll actually pour them, you know, and combine them, but not actually jamming the two, you know.
I think that's a fun thing for the listeners to do, too, though. Like, you should encourage people, you know, hanging out and you're trying different beers,
think outside the box and just try a blend and see how if it works.
Yeah, I
mean, think of the can art possibilities and call it a really, really, really bad idea.
Yeah.
Or it might be an epiphany.
Welcome to South Dakota.
A Bianca bomb. you know?
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah. Why not? I think that this was a good choice as well, because